Praise the Lord. Yeah. After the fellowship yesterday evening, not just we were ushered into the fellowship of the conference, but somehow I was almost satisfied. Hallelujah. Just like after eating a nice meal. But interestingly, we eat every day. And as Christians, we have to keep eating. Because we have a tendency to forget. As the food we eat is digested and becomes our life, so also we need to eat and come to the Word daily. Praise the Lord. And I'm going through some of the verses, and something came to my mind, and I was so encouraged. I'll need to read it with you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Maybe we'll read verses 9 and 10. I'll read. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But, amen. I love this word, but. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Amen. I'm not sure we are going to say anything new in this conference, but we have to remind one another that we need to increase more and more. Just like darkness has different degrees, right? The same way light has different degrees. And it is our prayer in this conference that at the end of the conference, that for those who are already in the light, you can shine brighter. Amen. And those of us who also have some darkness in us, we can live and move forward a bit, and also we can shine also brighter. So this morning we want to fellowship on God is light. In Genesis, verse 3, actually, one of the first things God created was light. After everything was void and full of darkness, there was no way God could start his creation like we saw yesterday. It's such a purposeful God. But everywhere was full of darkness. And for God to start, the Word came. You remember the Word? Yolanda, do you remember the Word? In verse 3. Yeah?
Then God said, let there be light.
Oh, wow.
There was light.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let there be light.
Amen.
And there was light. Praise the Lord for God's word. Even into our being, God speaks every day. God says, let there be light. In my being, he keeps speaking. So today we need to fellowship a little bit to remind ourselves of the things we already know so that we can abound more, run more. I read some verses in John chapter 3, in verse 19 to 21. John chapter 3. And this is the commandment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. The light that we have in us is a function of the amount of God we have inside of us. And we realize that God himself is light. And so, it goes without saying that the more of God we have, the more of light we have inside of us. And the less of God we have, the more of darkness, because darkness is the opposite of light. No wonder, even as born-again Christians, like we saw yesterday, we still have some darkness in us. So how come that if God is light and we have God, we still experience darkness in us? You know, this calls to my remembrance what happened in Exodus 34. We know the story about how Moses spent time with God. As he was with God, when he came out, the Bible says that the skin of his flesh shone. Anytime we spend time with God, we are filled with light. And this light disperses our darkness, because we are full of darkness. And sometimes when you're in darkness, you do not know that you're in darkness, right? Until you have light. And the only way we can have light is to come to God. And the more we come to God, the more we are in God, we see our darknesses, right? And then the song we sang said, we can take the blood so that we can move from darkness into life. What a life if we all can remain in light. Unfortunately, there's so many things. Yesterday, we also saw that we are fighting a warfare. Sometimes our impression about warfare is the war outside, yeah? But it is outside and it is inside. And in my own experience, it looks like the one inside is a bigger battle. But I realize that the more I can come to the Father in the Word, the more light shines inside me. And the more light shines inside me, I'm humbled, because I can see my darkness. And by his mercy, I can come close to him. The contrast of darkness is light. The contrast of light is darkness. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground, even though there are shades. So for some of us, maybe in our shining, we are this way, right? For some, they are that way, right? But there's no way we can fight this battle if we are not full of light. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, he says, and I want to paraphrase, you can read it. The lamp of the body is the eye. And he says, if that light, if that eye is darkness, the whole body is full of darkness. The same thing about the church. Today, in spite of the proliferation of church and so many Christians, the world is getting darker and darker. I come from Nigeria. The last administration the vice president, the number two person, is a big pastor. And in the history of Nigeria, that was the worst corrupt time. In everything, the number two person is a pastor, a professor in law, a big pastor of a big church, one of the biggest churches in the world. But that was a time the country fell into so much darkness. So, in spite of the fact there are so many children of God today, it looks like darkness is increasing. So, what should we do? I don't know your experience, but because the time is so short, the enemy has intensified. And there's a struggle. That's why we were encouraged last night. We need to be ready for this fight. The fight to gain God's kingdom. It is not a passive thing. It's a conscious, proactive, deliberate thing. Why? Because darkness is coming. I know we all have our experiences, what is happening around the globe, but it is obvious that darkness is getting stronger and stronger. There was darkness during the time Jesus came in person. Jesus said, I am the true light. In John chapter 1, I read verse 9. Maybe I read from 6 to 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. God is light. You know, while going through this preparation, I was so excited about this matter of light. But that didn't seem to be my reality. If God is light, how come many times I'm in darkness? It seems there's some disconnect. I don't know your experience, but the fact is, like, when you put light in a dark place, something happens, right? Also, in Matthew 5, he said, but you are the light of the world. What does light do? Sissy, what does light do? Make you better? Praise the Lord. Immediately light comes to a place, what happens? Okay, I'll rephrase. Do you like to stay in a dark room? Sissy, you like to stay in a very dark room? Okay, me too. But how come we enjoy darkness? Maybe it has not occurred to us that whatever is not God is darkness. Lord. But the good thing is that we are moving from darkness into light. He says he's the true light. So when we have him, we have light. More interesting is that when he shines through us, we illuminate our environment. People can see light. And in Matthew 5 again, he said, you cannot light a lamp and hide it under the bushel. What do you do to it? You put it in a lampstand. To do what? It's become very much more important since the Lord is coming back very soon. And we who want to be overcomers, who are overcomers, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to shine. We need to shine brighter and brighter and brighter because the world is getting darker and darker and darker. You know, I was with a brother yesterday and he said something that really impressed me. He said the school his little boy goes, it's some kind of a liberal school. When we went to school in those days, there was nothing like liberal school, right? School where was a place where you're taught good things, including morals, right? Today is the opposite. Meaning that darkness is... So in that school, you're not supposed to speak about God. So this young boy, when he was going to school, took a tract. I love this story so much. So wanted to give it to one of the cook. And then the teacher told this boy, you cannot share your religion here. I mean, this is a very young boy, right? In the kindergarten. You know, I'm so excited with the story because if it was me, maybe I would give up, right? That's why I said the light in us is in different degrees. And it's my prayer that my light will shine brighter. Amen. So this boy was a little bit upset, went to his dad and he spoke to his dad. And somehow there was a wonderful wisdom. He said, you know what? Don't get upset. Tomorrow, go to this teacher and tell this teacher, I am not sharing my religion. But I want to give this cook a gift. It's a personal gift. It's a wonderful idea, right? And the good boy, full of light, right? Because light is also obedience. The next day he went to school, went first to the teacher. He said, I am not sharing my religion, but I'm giving a gift to the cook. And then the teacher was stunned because there's nothing you can do, right? So the boy went straight and gave the cook the tract. I said, what a wonderful wisdom, right? So as the world is getting darker, we should be getting lighter. We should be getting brighter. Because light creates brightness. Light also exposes. Light exposes. I like to tell you something that, you know, sometimes when we want to speak the word, we are told not to speak. You know why? Because when we speak, something in them is exposed. And they feel uncomfortable. That's the more reason we should speak. Because if we now fear their face and we don't speak, what happens? Darkness increases. So if we really have to fight, this warfare, we must realize that at every situation that we are told not to speak, it is an opportunity for darkness to increase. Why? Because we are the light of the world. So if we don't shine, we have actually encouraged more darkness. So we need to be those who are fully exercised to always shine. Always. By all means, we should shine. You know, someone says something. The stars, they don't make effort to shine. Do you know why? Because they are light. And anytime we find ourselves struggling to shine, then we should ask the Lord to help us. Because He Himself, God, is light. And as light, if He's in us, we don't have a choice. But we shine. But in my experience, again, in spite of the fact that I'm carrying light, I also find it difficult to shine. And I like to challenge all of us here in Toronto. If your neighbor doesn't know that you're light, you're not doing that neighbor a good service. Your co-worker, your manager. Let them know that we are light. I used to tell my boys that for your own protection and salvation, when you go into a new place, announce who you are. Amen. I am light. So that when they see you in darkness, they would help you. But you said you're light. But you know, the enemy deceives us. So when we go into a new place, okay, let me watch and see what they do. No, it's already too late. Because by the time you watch to see what they do, you will become like them. And then it's difficult. But if you form the habit of announcing whom you are when you appear in a place, you're saved. Because immediately you announce it, trust me, they become witnesses for you. Young people, please practice this. Because the age is so dark. Don't wait until the darkness comes over you. Amen. We see light in His light. Why? God is light. I'll read Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's very good to know these things, because when we need them, then we can have them. How do you have more light? How do you have more light? Because God is light. So how do you have more God? The Bible says that His word is a lamp. So when we fill ourselves with the word of God, through the anointing, who is also the Spirit, we shine. We become light in our environment. So light does not always, does not just expose, it also enlightens. So, in addition to exposing, I don't know if you have this experience. When people know that you are light, they're careful the kind of things they bring to you. This is also our salvation, right? But when we are in Christ, we are supposed to be in light, right? If we do not enlighten, we also have, we now be in the opposite. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 4, on the negative side. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, right? Those who once had this light and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. I love the word enlightened. Seems to be the same word as he that comes to the world enlightened. When we receive the Lord, we receive light. But when this light can no longer shine, then we are in a problem. And this is the Holy Spirit. When we can no longer listen to the Spirit speaking us, then of what good is the light in us when it can no longer shine? We are being called into his marvelous light. Not just light. I love this adjective. He said, we are being called into his marvelous light. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, in chapter 4, in verse 4, he said, you have overcome him, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Amen. It means that no matter how dark the world is, the light in us can dispel it. You know, it's a very interesting thing. In the night, when we finish meeting here, and then you switch off the light, this place becomes very dark, right? And then we have to put on that small bulb out there so that you can see. And then if you put on that small bulb here, now you don't really experience anything, right? But when the whole place is dark, and then you turn on that small bulb, now, you can see your way. And this goes to reconfirm the fact that if the light in you is darkness, that's your eyes, then your whole being is full of darkness. And when we're in darkness, we don't know where we are going to. If I close my eyes deeply and then you switch off this light here and this place is darkness, believe me, I wouldn't know the way to the door anymore. Because I'm in darkness. The Bible says, I do not even know where I'm going. Interestingly, this is not the darkness of those who have not received the Lord. It is walking in darkness. Because we do not want the light. And how do we know this? You can imagine, in our daily lives, if we don't fill ourselves with the Word of God, if we're not immersed in the Word of God, and guess what? Our environment makes it such. We are so busy. And gradually, the light in us gets dim. Gets dim. What is happening? Darkness is setting in. And sometimes even the things we did not want to do, even our words, the people we communicate with, And so we must realize that as a light of the world, we need to shine. If we don't shine, we will become darkness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, which I said before, he says, "Let your light so shine." We'll read it. Matthew 5, verse 16. We start from 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If we have to fight this battle in this dark age, saints, we need to shine. And then we need to deal with those things that affect our light. Because if we are not shining, and then we are in things that do not encourage us to shine, we drift into darkness without knowing it. But we need to shine in this dark age. And this is my prayer. You know, I notice that even Christians, it looks as if there's something that's come upon so many people. That things that used to be abnormal are becoming normal. You know what has caused this? When we spend so much time in passiveness, then we begin to tolerate the things that used to be abnormal. Then they become normal to us. And at that situation, we are no longer in an offensive position. We tend to recline into a defensive position. And you cannot go to war being defensive so much. If you want to really win the battle, like we saw yesterday, we need to be in the offensive. Back in my years in the university, I used to have this set of tracts. Yeah, like long like this. And then it's written, the first half takes, Jesus said, very bold. And all the things that Jesus said, one of them is that you must be born again, right? So I used to wear a shirt with a breast pocket. So I'll put it like this, right? Jesus said, you must be born again. So I don't need to say anything. And there was this business law professor. She didn't like it at all. One day I was in her office, she said I should stop preaching. And I said, sorry, I didn't say anything. He said, that thing in your pocket. She was feeling offended by what I put in my pocket. And it just said, Jesus said you must be born again. Didn't Jesus say you must be born again? He said, light has come into the world, but the people have preferred darkness because their deeds are dark. You know, the aspect of light and darkness is in degrees. But it is our prayer and our desire that for us to fight this warfare and win, our light must shine brighter and brighter. Makes us to be very sensitive because light exposes, right? When we have so much light in us, we are very sensitive. So when somebody said, David, can we have dinner on Wednesday by 7 p.m.? I can tell you what David will answer. We have prayer meeting, right? There's some sensitivity, right? But let me tell you, if you cannot quickly respond to that, there's some level of compromise, right? And it depends on who it is. Or maybe what you stand to gain, right? Maybe it's your manager in the office. What would you say? Would you say, have prayer meeting? Praise the Lord. Don't answer me. You know your level of, your degree of light, right? It tells us exactly where we are. Our preferences and our choices. It's a function of the volume of light we have in us. If the light is so bright, it exposes so many things. No wonder, the closer you come to God, the more humble you become. Because when you come closer to God, you see your darkness. I used to tell some brothers, and I said, when you see a brother that is proud, I'm not sure he's very close to God. You know why? The closer we come to the light, the more our darkness we see. Amen. And when we see our darkness, what does it do to us? Humbles us. Because at any point in time, we have darkness. It depends on how close you are to God. The closer you come to light, what happens? The more you can see, yeah? You know, in some hotels, there's this magnifying mirror, right? You use for shaving, right? When you look at it, you can see the pores, right? But some mirrors, you can't see those things, right? The same way with light. When you begin to tolerate and accept certain things, it's an indication that you're drawing farther from the light. Because the closer you come to light, the more you see your darkness. Rounding up. When we are in the light, there are things that we always say, right? If we walk in the light, we will not walk in darkness. True or false? And in 1 John, he says, when we don't love the brothers, we are what? It's not my word. It's also said, if we do not have fellowship with the Father in the light, that means we are not walking in the light. And when we hate the brothers, what does it say? We're in darkness up till now. So is it possible for a believer to be in darkness? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a function of the volume of light in you. So if we're in light, we must love the brothers. We will get to hear more about love in the coming fellowships. In conclusion, if we in this room, if we will not shine, then there will be a problem in the universe. Because the truth is that not so many out there are shining. We are God's hope. We are his battle axis. We are his army. As a matter of fact, for us, it's not a choice anymore. We have to shine. Paul says, if I don't preach the gospel, the necessity is laid on me to preach the gospel. In other words, I don't have a choice. So in our little corners, with our neighbors in the offices, in the school, we must be those who shine. Why? Because we are light. Light does not struggle to shine. Because light shines. And when we don't shine, what will God do? How can we fight the battle? How can we be overcomers in our dark corners? Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. Oh, Jesus, amen. I'm done. Lord, thank you. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day I come. And I may not run in vain or labored in vain. Like we saw yesterday, if this was the speaking 2,000 years ago, if it said that this is a crooked and perverse 2,000 years ago, my vocabulary is very short. I do not know how to describe what we are today. And that is why, now, more than ever, we need to shine as light. If we don't shine as light, unfortunately, the reverse is not acceptable, because we will be consumed by darkness. Pray the Lord will have mercy on all of us.